Do you enjoy pain?
The film.
Don't hurt.
The movie 42 has taught me two things. That one, there was a time in history when black athletes could not compete in professional sports. And there was a time in professional sports that were probably really shitty.
And here I thought you actually made an accidental verbal typo. I thought you were talking about movie 43 there for a second.
No, I did not.
Because you said the movie 42, but which makes sense after hearing what you had to say.
No, I was talking about the prequel.
Yeah, right. I mean, that joke was made poorly a lot back when both of them came out 6 months ago. But
was it? Damn, it felt so original. See, I would be a great comedian like if I could think of this shit 6 months ahead of time.
Yeah, we all could. Oh my god, I had the best idea for something. Oh wait, everyone else already came up with it. I think we mentioned that on an earlier show. Nobody has an original thought, dude.
Nah, I know. Not in the days of the internet.
Especially not us.
Well, me kinda.
Narcissism and vanity are not original thoughts.
Oh, but they feel so good.
Welcome, everyone, to the fourth episode of Film Don't Hurt. I am your co-host, Dylan Fields, of the website Men I Love Films.
And I am the co-founder of menilovefilms.com and the host of the MILFcast, Kai Parker. Hello, everybody!
Before we get into our topic for today's conversation, Kai had wanted to do a little sidebar. I'm not exactly sure what this is about, so what do you got for me?
It's about the time we report the goddamn podcast. So, okay, so last week I was saying...
This is business that the listeners need to hear, you're saying.
No, but this is just me venting.
Okay.
I think I said last week, like, I always feel like... I know that we're both intelligent individuals, and I feel like if I wasn't a smart guy, you wouldn't even want to do this with me. We wouldn't even be friends. I know we have a mutual respect for one another. But the problem is I always end up sounding like the drunk, loud one trying to be funny. And you always somehow, like, you clean it up with this eloquent thought, and it's very annoying.
Do I really?
And we can... You do. You have a good way. Like, oftentimes I will babble on and you, like, sorry, Kevin Smith, copyright, you know, all that shit. I will say something and go on, and then you will be, like, so succinct and eloquent and just kind of be like, so what you're saying is this. And I'm like, well, fuck you. So that's kind of how I feel about it. But then I was thinking about it today. See, I have this thing that, like, we were trying to find a good time to do this podcast, and we settled on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. And Dylan and I are two very different animals. Dylan lives in Satan's asshole, but it's a lovely town. But it's hot as fuck. I mean, it's Satan's asshole. It is. Am I wrong?
Tell the people it's Arizona for starters, and not literally Satan's asshole.
No. It's a lovely town, but I mean, it gets to be how hot at like this time of year?
110.
No.
Yeah.
It's more than that. It's like 120. I thought it gets up to like 120. That, of like sandstorms.
The 120 is a once a decade thing. It'll get up to 117, 118, but we're finished with that for this year.
What you're telling me? No. What you're telling me is 120 is ridiculous, but it'll probably get up to 117, 118. But that was like a month ago.
That was like June. Yeah.
Okay. I think my point stands.
You asked me what it was. I said it was 110. You acted like that was 80 degrees.
No. Okay. Here's the thing. You live in fucking Kuwait, and that's how it is. But we have different schedules. You are you're a 9-to-5-er, essentially, an 8-to-4.
Yeah.
Can we call you a 9-to-5-er because it sounds better?
We can, just for brevity.
And I think you work like 9-to-5, don't you?
No, I work more like 7:30 to 4:30.
Okay, 7:34 thing. And you're indoors.
I am. It's beautiful.
A cubicle, an office?
It's air conditioned, Kai.
It's air conditioned. Well, everything has to be there. You know why? Because no one can walk 100 yards without melting.
Pretty much.
I live in California, most beautiful place on earth. I actually grew up in heaven, Orange County, California, Huntington Beach, represent. I have moved somewhat inland, and I am somewhere between the desert. Many of you maybe have heard of the Coachella Music Festival. I am somewhere between Orange County and Coachella, like midway, a little closer to Orange County.
You live in Southern California,
but
wine
we have
country.
The mountains in the way. Yeah, exactly. And it's not quite desert weather, but it gets very hot here. So what I've realized is I get up very early in the morning. I go out. I work in 100. Today it was 107 degrees, so it's not that far off. It's a little more humid. You guys like to say it's a dry heat. So I get up really early. I work in 107 degree weather outside all day long. I come home. I get drunk. That's my own problem, not yours. And then I don't get drunk. I have a few beers.
You're
and
not
then around
capable
8 o'clock,
of getting drunk.
Yeah, no. I've moved past it. You have to build up tolerance. So essentially, like around 6, 7 o'clock at night, I'm starting to get tired, and I want to be in bed at 9 every night. It doesn't happen because I have a wife and kids, but like 10 at the latest. And by that point, the sun has baked my brain, and the beer has kicked in, and I'm ready for the next day. And we've decided to do this podcast from 8 to 9 o'clock in the middle of the week. And I realize it's not that I'm stupid or that you're eloquent. It's that I am literally retarded from my week at this point. And this is the worst possible time for us to do the podcast. That was my sidebar. That's it.
Reminder that you're the person that says you can pretty much only do Wednesday nights.
Well, I don't want to do this on Friday because I got like a life. That's the night. See, that's the other shitty thing. This has nothing to do with movies. We'll get to movies. It's film, don't hurt. Film, don't hurt. Just hang on. Friday nights, I go into this weird thing where I will just stay up till 4 in the morning for no reason. And as soon as Sunday rolls back, I'm back to 9 o'clock. And we chose this night. We chose this night. No, I'm not done yet, Dylan. You'll hear me out, goddammit. We chose this night because my wife and children attend their Christian meetings. And it's a good night for me to be alone and have this time with you.
You just want to do it at 6 o'clock when I'm barely home for 10 minutes.
What time do you eat dinner?
6:30.
Wow. See, I'm in the senior citizen lunch, dude. I come home at 4 and I'm ready for dinner. Feed me. I want to go to bed.
You know what? Let's just quit this podcast right now.
No, fuck it. Let's tell the people we're going to talk about. This is a Dylan week. Dylan has chosen the subject. He's going to tell you what it is, and then I'm going to explain why he chose it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I need it. I need some kind of focus and direction here, because we have another patented Dylan unfocused spark of an idea that maybe it will lead to something. We'll see. I wanted to talk to you about, well, it's eventually going to get to the age-old, most important thing that factors into anyone's enjoyment of movies, and that is expectations. But we're not going to get there just yet. We're going to start with my first question that I had for you, which was, are there specific settings or types of settings that you gravitate towards or against when it comes to movies?
Yes, but can I back this up with what inspired this?
Oh, I have no idea. It just came to me.
No, I'm guessing. I have a feeling.
Well, I have a feeling, too. Actually, now that I say that. But give me your feeling first.
Well, you and I have plans in exactly 2 weeks and 2 days. What are we doing?
Yeah. Okay, that's probably where it came from. And we should say, at this point, we've just gotten back from Vegas, and boy, what a hell of a time we had.
Yes, this will go up right after we got back. But as of right now, at recording time,
yeah,
we have plans to go to Vegas for a boys-only weekend with many other boys. Not like a Tom Cruise hanging with the boys kind of way, like a real manly kind of
cruising or losing it. That's what we're doing. We're losing it in Tijuana, right?
Yeah, but I literally got a text from you yesterday that says, I'm getting irritated. Vegas can't come quick enough. And then I get another email or text that says, we're going to talk about like film settings. I really like movies that are set in Vegas. I think you just have Vegas on the brain.
Yeah, I probably do. I mean, I look forward to this trip every year. It comes but once a year, and it comes at this time of the year. So, and on top of that, my wife just went out of town for a few days, and so I've been Mr. Dad for a while. So I'm just jonesing to get away a little bit.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's probably why it's on the brain. But also, I think what might have helped, or I don't know which came first, but I recently rewatched Go, which was one of my all-time favorite movies, heavily set in Vegas. Mm-hmm. I've made some kind of list about top 5 movies set in Vegas in the past, and of course that one's on it. So yeah, that kind of thing was getting into it. I am... You tell me a movie set in Vegas, and I'm predisposed to like it right then and there. So it was all kind of thinking about that. So what are yours?
Well,
Obviously, the big one I had for you was sci-fi. And I know that's not really a place, but it kind of is at the same time.
Well, and I was going to ask you about that, but to stick with Vegas for a second, like we recently went to Vegas to meet up with some other movie writers in February. And the thing about Vegas is I was thinking today, it's much better of an idea or a movie location than it is an actual place. Like Las Vegas is kind of like a shithole. It's really cool lights and there's money and there's sex and all that shit. But at the end of the day, like you go outside, it's just kind of fucking dirty. It's never as glamorous as it's portrayed in the movies. But it
depends
on
the movie. Have you seen The Cooler? Or Hard Eight?
Well, I don't think The Cooler is even set in Vegas. Is it? Is it Atlantic City?
Oh, I don't know. Same difference. Could be Reno. Could be Tahoe. But
I don't want to. I want to say that wasn't Vegas.
Sure. I don't. Anyway, it's not relevant. Okay. It's the same mindset.
I see something like Casino or Ocean's 11, and I'm predisposed. Like, I'm in. That looks cool. That looks fast. That looks hot.
Right.
And I would put that as one of my favorites. See, you're jumping to sci-fi, and I'm assuming you think space is my favorite.
I think it's up there. I don't know if it's your favorite, but I knew it would be amongst them. I think if somebody were to ask me what films do you think Kai is predisposed to like, I would say ones that are set in the future in space.
You would be somewhat right and somewhat wrong. While I love Star Wars to death, I would much rather watch
period Victorian films, right?
Yes, I knew exactly. It. Something with like a Vanity Fair, something of that nature. I'd rather watch something like Apollo 13 or like Gravity's got me really interested. Sunshine, something
so
like that.
Sci-fi
like,
in space in the future, right? Except for Apollo.
No, not necessarily. No, that's what I'm saying. I don't like the idea of the moons of Endor in this made-up fictional vast universe. I'd much rather watch... How's Apollo 13 set in the future?
Well, I said except for that one. But the other two you mentioned were totally in line with what I was saying.
Yeah, but they seem much more grounded in actual science. Does
okay,
that make
so
sense?
You want... You're more... Well, that's not so much the setting, though, as it is the tone, I guess. But what you're saying is...
Yeah, but I think that affects the tone. Like you mentioned The Cooler versus Ocean's 11. There is a tone there that changes it.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, while I love Star Wars, I much prefer the idea of, like, Moon. Or, like, those appeal to me more. Or Red Planet. Even those movies... Mission to Mars and Red Planet suck, but I like that idea a lot, and that is appealing to me.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but I still think my supposition stands of a sci-fi setting. You might have subsects within there that you like more than others, but the point stands.
True. As much as I love a good cabin in the woods, you know, I'm a big fan of those. They have been played to death, so I've kind of lost it, but I like The Deliverance, Blair Witch,
Tucker and Dale.
All that kind of shit. That's still fun. Evil Dead. Stuff like that is fun. I think you'll be surprised. I think my favorite setting for films is actually underwater shit.
It's kind of a...
Does that count?
Yeah, it counts. I just think it's a much smaller... It's harder to find. I mean, there's just not a lot that takes place there.
I know, but you're asking me what my favorite is, and I'm...
That's fine. Okay.
No, but like, for my money, like, I kind of like the inverse of the space idea where, like, the ocean is vast and unexplored. So films like The Abyss and Leviathan and even to a certain extent, like, Deep Blue Sea or even Poseidon Adventure.
Das Boot?
Like, I've never seen Das Boot.
But I guess, do submarine films fit into that, or is it because those are confined that kind of kills it?
No, that doesn't count. I look at like Abyss, and it's like living on a space station underwater.
Yeah, you want the open, vast unknown.
The vast unknown, yes. I don't like being confined in a ship that submerges. I want you to have to depressurize.
Well, that kind of ties into my next question, which we've already touched on a little bit, but I guess I'll just turn it on you, which is, do you think it's just an extension of your personal wants or desires? Meaning, in this case, is scuba diving something you're interested in?
No, I'm terrified. Okay, I grew up in Huntington Beach, and I was afraid to surf ever since I saw Jaws. Like, it terrifies me. I did surf. I wasn't very good because I didn't want to paddle out past a break. It scares the shit out of me. I think that's kind of the beauty of film, is that it gives you that ability to leap to those things you're afraid of through, like, another medium.
Interesting.
So, no. Like, when I see James Cameron did that, I don't know if you ever caught this, but I was watching one of, the travel channels or the Science Channel, and James Cameron actually did that thing where he went in one of those submergible things, and I believe he broke the Guinness record for deepest one-man exploration.
Probably. He's got the money and the drive and wants to be the guy that has the record. I'm sure it's him.
Yeah, it was very interesting, and they were seeing sea life that had never been seen before and shit like that, and it's all very, I mean, to me that's the equivalent of going to something like Jupiter and finding microbes in those oceans beneath the crust of the ice on top of the world. Like, that's very interesting to me. I can never do it.
I was going to say, you have no desire to do it?
No, the idea of scuba diving scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, but that's,
I'm terrified I will turn around.
With that, you're actually out there. What about the Cameron thing, where you're in a submersible? Would you want to do that?
At a depth that no one has ever explored to, where if my light goes out, I'm utter darkness? No.
How about at any depth?
Yeah, if we're talking 50 feet to explore a coral reef in a submersible where, nothing is going to get a hold of me, absolutely. But, I mean, we're talking about dipping your toes in, stepping on the first step of the shallow end. I'm not going to the depths of the pool.
I'm just trying to gauge, is it it's still an interest for you? You're just terrified to do too much.
It's something that interests the shit out of me that I want somebody else to go do and tell me all about. It fascinates me.
Okay.
It's just like space exploration. When I hear about these deep space rovers, you know what I mean? Or these telescopes that can see to these galaxies that we probably are never going to get to it in our lifetime. We probably will at some point beyond us. I find that shit fascinating. When I hear shit is 87,000 light years away, there's no way in my lifetime that's going to happen, but I want to know what's out there. That's the idea of the Battlestar Galactica idea of finding the new Earth that just blows my mind. No?
Didn't watch it. Sorry. No idea what happens.
Okay. Well, you're missing out. What about you?
What about me?
What are some of the – we've brought up settings. What are some of the settings that turn you on?
Well, I mean, for me, it's probably the same thing. It is sci-fi. I'm probably predisposed to enjoy sci-fi films to an extent. Whereas the contrast to that would be, the Vanity Fairs, the Dangerous Liaisons, the period dramas, something like that. Something set in 16th century England is not – automatically going to perk my ears up. I didn't really have any other specific ones that I had in mind.
I find some of that fascinating too, though. I really like the idea of history. I'm drawn a lot to World War II. I had a grandfather that my grandparents grew up in Germany. My grandpa was in Hitler Youth. He wanted to fly planes. He eventually came to America, became an airplane mechanic, crossed the lines of U.S.-run Germany post-war into Russian-run Germany to get my grandmother, bring her back and marry her. The stories he's told me that when I see the stories, and it's funny because we always get the American side of the tale.
Right.
Hearing the German side of the tale is very interesting to me, and imagining him in that world is always very interesting to me. I'm also compelled to stuff like the Three Musketeers. I don't know that I'd want to live in those times. I don't want to shit into a hole in the ground and have someone else wipe my ass with a scarf.
Yeah.
But the idea of being a musketeer is very fucking cool.
Yeah, that reminds me. I've always been a fan of medieval stuff, so something like The Princess Bride has always appealed to me from that aspect. That's where I wanted to live in a castle and be a knight and all that stuff. And, when I played with Legos as a kid, that's what I wanted to make was castles and do that kind of crap. I don't know if the films that they make these days really live up to those. I just think, in the realm of sci-fi, you have a lot higher – you have a lot more, and then I think you have generally a higher quality. Whereas I look at what they – put out in terms of medieval or even swords and sandals, whatever fits into that whole realm. I don't think that they're generally all that good.
Yeah, and there's sort of two takes on the medieval aspect of film, which is kind of like you have, I'm trying to think of a good one, maybe like Kingdom of Heaven, the Black Plague, that kind of shit. Does that fall under medieval?
Yeah, Kingdom of Heaven does. Didn't, I haven't seen Black Plague.
No. Oh. There's not a movie called Black Plague, but
there,
I believe that
there probably
takes place.
Is.
Yeah, probably. It's something our buddy Jason Soto would have seen. there's that, and then you have the romanticized Princess Bride aspect of that, which is a completely different animal.
Yeah.
But yeah, that stuff's interesting. And in reality, it's shit, because, every time people kiss in those movies, I'm like, you guys don't brush your teeth. That is disgusting.
Yeah, it'd be a terrible place to actually live.
Yes, if you went down on this girl, it would be like a forest with a machete, and it would smell horribly.
You could throw
and same to you, young man.
You could throw westerns into that as well. Basically, anyway.
Absolutely. What's your feeling on westerns?
I was going to bring them up, but actually, not so much in reference to me, but in reference to my wife. She can't stand westerns, pretty much, and sometimes it bothers me that she won't give them a chance, just because. I feel like a time setting is not necessarily indicative of the type of film you're going to get. Now, with Westerns, it is a lot of the time. But there are Western comedies. There are Western sci-fis. And, you know, there's things that they cross genres. I mean, I had mentioned, like, period era Victorian stuff. I don't see a whole lot of variation there in terms of what you get. You know, there's not a whole lot of...
Well, there's action. Black Knight with Martin Lawrence.
Yeah. Okay.
There's that.
There's a Connecticut kid in King Arthur's court or something. No. But with Westerns, I'm not like a 100% lover of that genre, if you're going to call it a genre in and of itself, but I'm certainly open to them.
It's funny. I was actually watching Tombstone tonight before we started doing this podcast, which... If anyone out there has not seen it, you need to see For Nothing More Than Val Kilmer. Like,
exactly.
He's just amazing as Doc Holliday.
Exactly.
There's notorious problems with that film. I believe Kurt Russell kind of ended up directing most of the film. But, I mean, a lot of good actors in it. Good movie. Not a great movie. Good movie. There's something very appealing about the Western genre in the fact that everyone is essentially an anti-hero, because nobody is working on that. We all have this like affinity for people like Han Solo, who is the anti-hero. He's not the guy with necessarily... He's not the idealistic Luke Skywalker of the group, but he is the one that is compelled by something to do good, even though everything in his demeanor tells you to do bad.
Well,
I think that is...
Maybe not tells him to do bad, but tells him to walk away and don't invest your emotions in these people. That's usually what it is.
Yeah. He's got the demeanor that if he was a smuggler and he did turn on people, you wouldn't be surprised.
Right.
But something about him is always compelling him to just, like, fuck, I gotta go do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I think people... I think that appeals to people because I think that's how a lot of us are. I don't think we're all... the idealistic Luke Skywalkers in our hearts, and I don't think we're all necessarily evil people. I think we're compelled to try and do right, and I think we connect with that on a certain level. Well, I think that's nowhere is that so much explored as it is in the Western genre.
If anything, possibly explored a bit too much.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you have your great, like the man with no name. And I guess to a certain extent, there is the appeal of the outlaw, too, because you have like Jesse James or Billy the Kid, who necessarily weren't good guys, but we kind of like that about them.
Right.
And we find a way to romanticize that evil.
That's exactly the word I was just going to use. We turn them into legends, even though they're probably really shitholes.
Yeah. It's always depressing when you see their actual photo from like 1882 and you're like, wow, that's what he looked like? Jesus. But. Like, you mentioned your wife. Like, I think of something like Young Guns, and I'm like, that is nothing like Pale Rider. You know? I understand that Kevin Costner's Open Range was a really long and boring movie, but Young Guns is a fast, young take on the genre. How can you not like that?
Or Maverick, or Back to the Future Part 3, which, ironically, is the one that gets crapped upon the most, even though it's not really that different. It just happens to be set in the Old West.
Yes.
I think that's like the paramount example of a Western bias, if ever there was such a thing.
Yeah, I suppose.
This kind of ties into my last question for you, which is, now this is where it gets kind of serious and deep. How effective can we be as critics of film in general if we're predisposed to enjoy films of a certain genre more than others?
This is why I don't choose to criticize films.
That's why you don't.
You know this about
this
me.
Is why you don't review films, right? But
yeah,
pretend that you
never,
do.
I don't want to. You know this about me. We called it Man I Love Films because I love movies, and we have already gone over how I am the.
Well, then answer
the
it for the general critic out there, not yourself. How can anyone?
You can't. That's like saying, how can you give... What's your favorite movie, Dylan?
We'll say Pulp Fiction.
Okay. Your best friend, knock on wood, sorry, this is an imaginary 1994. Your best friend passed away the day before you're set up to go to see a screening of Pulp Fiction. How do you not take that baggage in there and review that movie properly?
I completely agree with you.
Yeah, you don't. You take everything with you into a film, which I guess kind of ties into the thing I was just saying to a certain extent, the Man I Love Films theory. I came up with that name originally because I love films. So, for instance, last night I'm sitting with my wife and she turned on The Help. I've seen The Help. I like The Help. I have no desire to sit down and watch The Help again. It's about 20 minutes in. She turns it on. I sit there and decide not to argue with her. And about, 20 minutes in, I'm smiling. You know, it's very much pat yourself on the back, white people. Emma Stone represents us all. But, it's a cute movie. And I let myself get caught up in it. And, movies about the... I tend to like kind of movies about the... dealing with the... civil rights
white
and things
guilt.
Like that. I don't know if I'd call it white guilt. I've never understood the white guilt thing because I don't know anyone that is a slave has gone through that. We are a generation separated from that. It's important to know and recognize and make sure that it never happens again. But I certainly have never seen anyone treated like those people were treated in that film. So it's hard for me to I don't harbor that guilt because I don't treat people that way. The guilt is the people thing. I don't know, but
right. Anyway, what were you getting at?
Yeah, yeah. I like that era. I like films that deal with that. I like that in film, be it like something like Ali, or any of that stuff. But still, this is essentially. I think The Help would be considered to a certain extent like a bit of a chick flick.
Yeah,
is that fair?
I think that's fair.
But I get to watching it, and I'm enjoying myself. I'm smiling. When I see Octavia Spencer doing her thing in that film, I'm amused. I think she's great. This is a very good performance in a really good film. And it is probably a little bit vanilla, and it probably glosses over some of the more hard-hitting points, but I enjoyed it. And that's what you have to come back to, regardless of – and at the same time, I've been to many sci-fi films I was very excited for and been let down horribly. So I don't know how relevant that is. Would you agree with any of that?
You give me a lot to chew on.
yeah.
But I guess to the question of what it boils down to is impartiality and expectations. And it's almost a total argument against the sharing of one's opinions on film in general, wouldn't you say? Because if what you're saying, like the Pulp Fiction example that you gave, so... that person, whoever it is, that had the friend that died the day before and goes to see it and then writes a review about it, how much stock can you put into that? And that's assuming you even know of that situation. If you're just Joe Blow reading that review that this person has put up and you don't know the backstory, now you're colored by that as well. It's just, I don't know, there's so much that goes into... what you were saying with the baggage that one brings into it, that's how can you take any opinion seriously?
Well, you can't. And I got into a discussion the other day. I was on another podcast as a guest, and we're talking about 2001: A Space Odyssey. And it was a very polarizing film. I was doing some research on it, and a lot of the reviews very positive, a lot of them very negative. One of the negative reviewers had a very eloquent point, I thought, about the film, which was essentially something to the effect of the film is so abstract that I'm not going to do it any justice. So abstract that it can't even take you to the effect. It can't even take you to the point of realizing that it's an abstract film. I don't know. That's not going to do it any justice. It was a beautiful point. I later read that the guy kind of recanted his point on a second viewing and changed his mind. And I got a little bit perturbed because with films like that, I feel like sometimes people are pressured into liking films because of the general consensus.
Oh, yeah. Or at least pretending that they are.
Yeah, or at least pretending that they are. And with films like that, it seems to stand out like a sore thumb a little bit more. However, like, I really am a fan of giving films a second chance. I mean, I saw Pulp Fiction. How old were you when Pulp Fiction came out? 18?
17, yeah. 17, 18.
Okay, 17. So I'm 15, 16. Do you think I had any idea what the... Like, when I got to the scene where Marcellus Wallace was getting butt-fucked, I was like, what the fuck is this movie about? It took me a couple of years and several viewings to have any idea what Pulp Fiction was. I knew it was cool. I knew it was fast. I knew it had a great cast. But, like, you know, and maybe that's to a certain extent why I don't like reviewing films, because I feel like sometimes you got to give. I just saw The Wolverine, liked it, didn't love it, really feel like I need to watch it again before I can have a coherent thought on whether it was good or bad.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a topic for another day. But, yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm one of these people that I have trepidation about giving my opinion on something so immediately. I'm like, I need 5 years to think about this.
Which is bad in our business because we need to have it up by Saturday when it comes out Friday, if not sooner.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that would agree that the nature of it is kind of detrimental to the whole discussion of them when you have this pressure now, and everything's disposable. If you put out a podcast on a new release and it's 3 weeks later, nobody wants to listen to that. It's a 3 week old film.
So, yeah.
I don't know. It's all these shots at criticism in general, or at least the kind of criticism that we trade in, and it makes you wonder how valid any of it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of depressing. Sorry. Well,
yeah. No, like, it's funny because we talked about what this is going to be about, and it was going to be like locations you like movies about, and I feel like we went very deep on this, and we're so far away from where we started that I'm scared now.
Hey, you know what? Film don't hurt.
Film don't hurt.
With that, let's get to our takeaways.
My takeaway this week is that people don't want to hear about a movie 3 weeks after its release date, so we're not going to do that Smurfs 2 podcast.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
My takeaway is that Kai's favorite ride at Disneyland is the submarine.
The old one.
Yeah, the old one. 10 feet underwater, all the undersea life there for you. Isn't that what they did with the Nemo one there now? It's pretty much the same thing, isn't it?
No, they turned it into Nemo. It's different.
But it's still a submarine going 10 feet underwater, right?
It's the exact same. They didn't change the ride. They just changed kind of what you look at, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they project images of Nemo in the window of the pane of the glass. It's interesting.
You know, I never go on that because I'm kind of scared of it. I would not want to be on a submarine ever.
Really? So, ever. Do you like movies about submarines?
I'm okay with them. But I know the deep sea scares the living crap out of me. You said you want somebody else to do it and tell you about it. I'm fine with not knowing.
Okay.
It's okay. I mean, I'll look at the occasional pictures of it. People put up a post about, you know, look at the crazy shit that's living 3 miles underwater. And that's kind of interesting, but I'm not going to seek it out because it's kind of too scary. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Well, that does
all right,
well,
we'll save this for the after show, huh?
Yes, that will wrap up episode 4 of Film Don't Hurt. I am Dylan Fields of Man of the Films.
And I am not.